You may be seated.
Dear friends, let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for this good news, the gospel that Jesus saves. Help us to know it, to experience it, God, to remember the joy of our own salvation, God, so that we are empowered this morning to go and bless and share with others. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen. Well, good morning, church family. There is a popular internet meme that talks about you only had one job. You had one job. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you guys seen some of these? I want to give you some examples so you know what I'm talking about. Let's put some of these up. You had one job. That's rolled. Okay, go to the next one. This one cracks me up. Okay, go to the next one. Slightly misplaced. Okay, go to the next one. This one just seems fake. I'm like, is this AI? Like, this is just so bad. The job is well done. Okay, go to the next one. Some of you took a little bit longer on that one. but you had one job. Come on. Okay, next one. I don't know if you can see that sign, but it says, give cyclists space. You had one job. Come on. Okay, go to the next one. Okay, this is just ridiculous. Who stocked these shelves? You had one job. Unbelievable. But friends, I wonder how much of this sentiment could we humbly apply to the church today? Today is Blessed Sunday in the covenant. It's a day that we talk about sharing the good news of Jesus. In the book of Matthew, we're talking about the Great Commission. And Jesus essentially boils it down to them. You guys have one job. You have one job. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's your job. That's your assignment. How are we doing at our job? How are we doing at the one job Jesus gave us to do? You know, Jesus called his disciples to be fishers of people. In the Gospel of John, you know, it's bookended by these two stories of miraculous catches of fishes to give us that powerful image of this is what I'm calling you to do. In the Gospel of Luke, it's followed up by the book of Acts where the church is given the power of the Holy Spirit to go be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You have one job. And here in Matthew, we get what's called the Great Commission. We have one job. Now, as a pastor, I feel a particular need to keep growing and to be attentive to this area in my life. If I can continue a little bit crassly with the fishing metaphor, my vocational calling has led me to be a keeper of an aquarium. Got to make sure the aquarium's nice. Are the fish fed? Is everything looking good? Are the fish okay? Okay, that's great. I love my job. I love my calling. I think God wants me to do it. The Bible says anyone who desires to be an overseer desires a noble task. And yet, at the same time, if I am not careful, I can spend all my time taking care of the fish that Jesus has already caught when he's given me one job, to go and make new disciples, new followers, who will embrace the good news of salvation that he has died to give them. That's my main task. That's your main task. So today, again, is Blessed Sunday, and I think it's a perfect timing with it being the Sunday right after Easter. We've heard this good news. We just sang about it again. We have this living hope, and sometimes I feel like we can just say, man, that's good news for me. Oh, that's really great. My sins are forgiven. I have eternal life with God. But what about all the other people who need to hear this? Is this not an announcement that is worth the whole world hearing about? That Jesus has died for them, given his life for them, that he rose from the dead? If that's all true, then it shouldn't just be good for me. It's good for the whole world. It's good for everybody. And Jesus commissions us to get out there and share the gospel with the whole world. And we can do that without fear because Jesus has triumphed. He has defeated the worldly powers. He has defeated death. He has secured our future. We can do this boldly in his name. And so today I want to encourage us to live more boldly in fulfilling the Great Commission. What is a commission, by the way? I looked it up. Merriam-Webster defines commission in the following ways. A formal written warrant granting the power to perform various acts or duties. It's also an authorization or command to act in a prescribed manner or to perform prescribed acts. It's also the authority to act for, in behalf of, or in place of another. Or it's a task or matter entrusted to one as an agent for another. And finally, it's an act of entrusting or giving authority. And I think the Great Commission encompasses all of that. It's a formal declaration that the church has the power and the authority to do this in the name of the triune God to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's an authorization to do this work on behalf of Jesus Christ. It's a command to carry out the kingdom work that Jesus started, and he entrusts us, he entrusts all of you with this task to continue his kingdom work and to spread this gospel until either we die or he comes again. You have one job. You have one job. Let me just break this down in a few more simple points. Number one, we are commissioned by and with Jesus' authority. We're commissioned by and with Jesus' authority. If you remember back in the Passion narrative, Jesus was before the Sanhedrin, and he told them that he would be the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One coming with the clouds of heaven. This is a quote from Daniel chapter 7. If you look, I have this up on the screen for you. It says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given, this is about Jesus claims this for himself, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That's a pretty high level of authority, wouldn't you say? The story of the cross and the resurrection is not something that is just a good thing that happened in the past. But it's a royal announcement of something that is true right now. That Jesus reigns as king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this royal proclamation goes out to all peoples, to every nation across the earth. And because Jesus is king with all this authority and glory and power, all nations, all peoples of the earth are summoned to submit to him and worship him and give him glory. And because he is the one who lives forever, his kingdom will never pass away. His kingdom is everlasting. You know, kingdoms rise and fall. We see that all throughout scripture. We see that all throughout history. Thank God. Thank God the kingdoms of this world rise and fall. But Jesus' kingdom will never pass away. It is an everlasting kingdom. And so this statement that Jesus gives us is, it starts off really powerfully. He says, all authority. How much authority? All authority has been given unto me. Is there any realm, is there any place, is there any nation in which Jesus' authority is no good? No. That means you can walk into any place, into any situation, into any nation, and you have the authority of Jesus Christ behind you and with you. I don't care how scary it is. I don't care how powerful the people you're talking to are. You have the authority of Jesus Christ to be his sent one. That's high authority. And I think about this again in two ways. We are commissioned by Jesus, by Jesus' authority. If your boss gives you an assignment at work, someone with authority has given you a task you have to complete. If you're summoned to appear in court, you are summoned by a higher authority. You got to show up. In the Great Commission, we are summoned by the highest authority there can be. Is that right? There is no higher authority by which we could be summoned to a task. And so I take that with the utmost seriousness, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has summoned me to have one job. Wow. I should really think about this seriously. I hope you think about it seriously. This is a command backed up by the King of the universe. But it's also, I think it's a promise here that not only are we commissioned by this authority, we are commissioned with his authority. We can go into any place, speak to any person with his authority and approval behind what we're doing. We are ambassadors of the King of Kings. You know, if you share your faith at work, if you share your faith in the neighborhood, if you share your kids, if you share your faith with a friend at school, you know, people might say, well, how can you, you know, share your perspective with me and challenge my perspective? How can you bring your private faith into this public space? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. By what authority do you do these things? Well, I come back by the authority of Jesus Christ, by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has given me the authority. Now, I'm not saying just disregard, you know, proper decorum and respecting different places, but you have been given authority to preach in his name. And so whatever other authorities might say, isn't there a higher authority that you answer to? And he has told you this is your one task. And so therefore we can take risks to be bold, to share our faith in places and to people that may not be excited at first to hear about it, but we've been given the authority to go proclaim it. Our faith is meant to be shared in the public sphere. This gospel, the good news of Jesus' death, resurrection, and reign is this public announcement that we are commissioned by and with Jesus' authority to share. And that leads me to my next point, is that we are commissioned to go. We are commissioned to go. You know, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, just stay where you're at and encourage people around you. I mean, ridiculous, right? No, there is a necessity of going. This has to be taken to other people. There is a necessity of going. If we are fishers of people, then we must go fishing. Unfortunately, our lives and our collective witness, could become that you had one job meme real quick, because we can get so focused on other things. You know, I don't want to get to heaven and say, you know, look, Lord, look at this beautiful fishing pole I made. Never caught any fish with it, but man, doesn't the pole look good? My net's great. You know, look, Lord, I read a lot about fishing. I know a lot about fishing. I know about all kinds of fish, where they live, what they like to do, how they swim. I've studied Hebrew fish and Greek fish. I know what boats are good. I got the theology of fishing down pat. I've even memorized, Lord, some instructions about how to fish. But did you actually go fishing? You had one job. You got one job. Did you do it? Are we doing it? Jesus did this. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He came down from heaven to come save you and me. He came to seek you out. He sought you out. And you're here this morning because you've responded to Jesus seeking and saving you. So let's not let it end with just us being saved. He has commissioned you also to go seek and save in his name, on his behalf, because there are other sheep of his fold that he needs to bring them in also. And he's commissioned you to go do it in his name. My professor, my advisor at Fuller Seminary, he has emphasized often that discipleship begins in the harvest. What he means by that, it begins among the lost. It begins among the people who do not yet trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he might send out more workers in his field, right? Now, certainly discipleship does not end after reaching the lost, after working in the harvest. There's the important work of people must be baptized, they must be incorporated into the fellowship of the church, they must be taught. Our discipleship, our Christian formation, of course, is lifelong. It is a lifelong journey, and we're all on that journey, aren't we? But discipleship begins in the harvest. It begins among the lost. Discipleship means helping someone who is not yet a follower of Jesus become a follower of Jesus. That's what Jesus meant when he said, go and make disciples. There was only, about 120 of them at this point? He wasn't saying, make yourself a stronger church. He was saying, go out and reach people who don't yet know me and make them disciples of Jesus. Make them followers of Jesus with you. So we need to begin in the harvest. We need to begin among the lost. We need to begin among those who do not yet know or put their trust in Christ. This is a commission. This is a task that will take all of us. It takes the whole body of Christ to reach the whole world for Christ. And when we work together, we can accomplish more together than we ever could as isolated Christians. That's why the whole covenant started, by the way, as mission friends. There is a mission bigger than each one of us, and we need friends on the journey who will help us live into this mission. And Jesus commissions us to go into all the world. And we do that together. One of the ways we're going to do that is by supporting Jonathan and Brooke, going to the unreached, translating the Bible. May we never lose the vision of the unreached peoples of the world who need this good news. And at the same time, I want you to think about how can you be a participant as well, not just supporting those who go, but there's a mission field around you right now, right where you live in your everyday life. One pastor encourages the thought of going into all your world. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. How about going into all of your world? Go to all your family and preach the gospel. Go to all your friends and preach the gospel. Go into all your neighborhood and preach the gospel. Go into all your workplace and share the gospel. Make your world your personal mission field. Go into every nook and cranny as far as you can go, as far as the Holy Spirit will empower you. Be a fisher of people in Jesus' name. This is your task. So we are commissioned to go. We're also commissioned to make disciples. Make disciples. Go and make disciples. Disciple means